Hello everyone and welcome to the third episode of this new Surrey County Cricket Club podcast, From Three Feathers to Three Lions, brought to you by Kia, who for over 10 years have been the official naming partner and long-standing sponsor of the Kia Oval and Surrey County Cricket Club. I'm Mark Church, and once again we have our four very special guests from Surrey County Cricket Club to get their insights into their pathway through the Surrey Academy into the Surrey First 11 and then onto England Honours. And once again, hopefully there'll be some laughs and interesting chat along the way. Last week we looked at the move into the Surrey First 11 for all of them and playing professional cricket. This week we'll be chatting about playing for England and that step up to international honours. So let's introduce our guests. Firstly, the man who runs the Surrey Cricket Academy. He's been the Academy Director for over 17 years and the likes of Jade Dernbach, Zafaran Sari, Jason Roy, Ebony Rainford, Brent have all come through the Academy and gone on to England Honours. Some call him the Dreammaker. I prefer to call him Gareth Townsend. GT, how are you?
I'm very well, Churchy. Been very busy this week. Throwing balls back to the Oval, where I've met up with Ollie and Sam, so I've been getting them into form so they can score plenty of runs this summer when they resume their test series against the West Indies, touchwood.
Excellent. We'll talk about that again in a few moments. Just to say, there was talk of virtual backgrounds from everybody for this episode of the podcast. That's not gone terribly well. You, GT, there, from what I can see, have picked a background with a clock, a wardrobe, and a door frame from the looks of things.
Yeah, it's quite a sentimental look, I thought, for this morning being the our third podcast. Quite imaginative. Being pretty creative, really.
Yeah.
You're not inspired by it?
Seeing you in your kitchen probably would inspire me, old boy, I have to say. I'm fully inspired this morning. Next up is a young man who made his England Test debut against India at Lord's in 2018. He averages already 47.77 in Test match cricket and made his maiden Test match 100 against South Africa earlier this year. He is, of course, Ollie Pope. Good morning to you, Popey. How are you?
Good morning, Churchy. Yeah, all good, mate. All good. Can't complain. Nice to be back on the podcast.
Now, I can see Ollie Pope this morning, which is a joy for me, obviously. But first time I saw you this morning, when we were just making sure everybody was here, all I could see basically was a plant because you'd rested your phone against a pot plant. Now you've worked out your virtual background, and there you are in the Surrey team photo. Very, very good from you, Ollie Pope.
Yeah, I know. The plant wasn't quite cutting it, to be honest. So I thought, yeah, I'd get Sam's big melon in next to mine as well. So, yeah, here we are.
I have got a massive Sam Curran coming out of Ollie Pope's right shoulder at the moment. Next up is an off-spinner who's been named in the 55 for this summer's international games. He's already toured with the England Lions in the early part of this year, and he has a very good chance of making an international debut this summer. He is, of course, Amar Verdi. Good morning to you, Verds. How are you this morning?
I'm all well. How are you?
Yes, very well indeed. Thank you. I'm glad to see that you failed as well on the virtual background, unless you wanted just a white wall as your virtual background.
This is my virtual background. It's a Sunday kind of chill look today. So yeah, I thought I'd change it up and choose a white wall.
It's a very, very good background, Verz. There's a lot you can do with just a plain background. And finally, to a young all-rounder who made his Test debut against Pakistan at Headingley in 2018. He's already played 17 Tests, averaging 27.34 with the bat and taking 37 Test match wickets already. He's also played 4 ODIs and 5 T20s for England. He is, of course, Sam Curran. Good morning to you, Sammy, and how are you?
Morning, Churchy. Yeah, all good, mate. Busy week, like GT said. Training starting to ramp up now, so I think West Indies are due to land next week, which is exciting. So it feels like things are starting to get moving.
And you are the master of the virtual background, but you've gone for a more natural sitting room, dining room look this morning, haven't you?
Yeah, more casual this week. I thought last week I changed too many virtual back. I thought I'd be a bit more sophisticated this week and just, like GT, get the clock up in the background, a little chandelier. Lovely.
Very nice. Very, Very Downtown Abbey, or whatever it was called. Preview there, Sam Curran. So, GT, let's start with you. You mentioned it there, but this week for you, obviously some academy work, but also in at the Oval with the England boys.
Yeah, I've gone in. We had three training days with the guys, mainly throwing some balls, obviously socially distancing, being COVID safe in the way we did it. The actual training programme worked really well for the boys, and I think they enjoyed it and got a lot out of it in terms of their first, I suppose, steps back into hitting balls properly on grass. Yeah, it's been good. Graham Thorpe's been kind of right driving the session, so it's good to link up with him again. Obviously doing the twos and working with him before. So yeah, I've had a good week. It's been enjoyable.
And academy wise, any news on what's happening academy wise at the moment?
Well, the academy players aren't allowed to train at the moment because they're in the elite players squad, which is where the pros are in terms of the categorisation that the ECB and government have put. So they're not allowed to return. We can't train with them, we can't coach them yet. But we have been starting some recreational training with our age group players. Guildford Cricket Club, that started yesterday. So that was good to get three or four lads back in. And we'll continue to do that in the weeks ahead. So, getting busy now with a lot of training, a lot of sessions lined up.
Terrific stuff. Now, Ollie Pope. I was sitting there, I think it was Monday afternoon, and suddenly on my Twitter, up came video footage of O Pope back in the nets at the Kier Oval. Now, we spoke to you before that, and it was fair to say you were champing at the bit, but you've been back this week, you've been hitting again. How good's that been, Mr. Pope?
Yeah, it has been. It's been really nice. The first few hits were pretty ropey, to be honest. A few player misses, a few nicks, and but no, it's really nice to be back playing, back training with the lads, and hopefully this week we'll see some more improvements with the bat, because obviously you're going to be a bit ropey after a few months out, but that's only natural.
And how was it being sort of in the special conditions that you're in at the moment for training? Because it obviously is very different to anything you've ever experienced before.
Yeah, it is weird. I guess we've just got to make it the new norm for the next few weeks. You've just got to get used to not sort of, even when you're having a hit in the nets, you've got to hit the ball back rather than pick it up and underarm it back. And it's just thinking about those kind of things. But you can still get a lot done and, well, pretty much everything done, and keep your distance on the pitch, which is good.
And as you say, nice to be back with the bat in your hand. How was that first session then?
Oh, it was pretty ropey, if I'm honest. GG was actually throwing to me. I think it was as good as it can be. I think when I did my shoulder last year, I was obviously out for 3 months. I knew what it's like to not pick up a bat for 3 months and try and go again. So I just tried to keep it as simple as possible, to be honest. Not too many big shots. And yeah, hopefully I played and missed rather than nicked them. But no, it was good. Nice to be back.
Yeah, I saw you letting a couple go early doors as well.
Yeah, I'm like me. I'm normally shot a ball, so yeah. Good practice.
And Verds, how's the week been for you? How's the week been sort of from a training point of view for you?
I mean, it's been pretty good, pretty productive. I think it's just nice to be in a bit more of a team environment, because, you know, training at home, it's good, but it's just not the same as, you know, being pushed around, like being pushed to do more with your teammates and things, and the intensity is slightly different. But no, it's been good. It's been a good chance for me to, you know, just work on what kind of things I want to work with a keeper, and have a little bit of a hit with GT as well. And then just getting back into some fielding and some more fitness work. But no, it's been pretty good. And I think now all the regulations are changing kind of on a weekly basis. I think we can have a go at batters next week. So fancy having a go at Popey and Sam next week, which should be good, getting a rest swept around the ground. So let's see how it goes.
Yeah, and obviously nice to be back, I would have thought, at the Kier Oval with sort of familiar surroundings. I know you can't do what you normally do, but it must just be nice to be back there in familiar surroundings again.
Yeah, I mean, it's odd, like this time of the year, like training, and it's almost like, I know there's a lot of construction work going on, but it's very quiet. Like there's not a lot of noise, and being in a stadium where it's like pretty quiet and you can't really hear anything other than yourself or maybe a few people talking is quite odd. So I think it's just something, potentially if I do get a go this summer or involved in the program this summer, then at least it's something that you're getting used to now. I think the same for the other boys as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because those internationals will be behind closed doors anyway. So that's a really good point. And Sam, how's it been for you? Because obviously you started pretty early with all this stuff. So how's the pickup been this week?
Yeah, good. Thanks, mate. It's been, same as the boys said, intensity is starting to really ramp up, as we know that the series has been confirmed and the dates are all in order now, so that's quite exciting. I think at first part it was quite tricky training, because you didn't really know what you're training for. There was no real set dates, but now there's set dates for the 8th of July, so getting back into two spells in a day and things like that, so that's really cool. Starting to bowl at batters next week, which will be nice to get that competitive edge going again. And yeah, just it's been nice to just get into a routine again that's familiar to us, turning up to the Oval, getting warmed up, having a bowl. And yeah, I'd love to obviously be playing county cricket with all the Surrey boys and stuff, but at the minute we just have to do what we got to do and just keep trying to enjoy it, because it is very different with no one. I think there's going to be no fans and stuff like that, so that's going to be very, very strange. But I think the main thing is we're going to be playing on TV and everyone will be watching, so it's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, and the one thing I've noticed as well is obviously we've seen footage of you boys training from, you know, ECB websites and your own Twitter feeds and everything, but it's giving everyone a real boost actually to see you guys back there and actually playing cricket again. I know I saw Jimmy Anderson bowling in the nets at Lancashire like he had it on a piece of string already, and it really was great. So are you aware of that, you know, just seeing you boys back and playing some cricket again is giving everybody a real lift?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I was actually driving home the other day and thinking what it was going to be like, no fans and stuff like that. But then you think about the TV audiences and stuff, because there's been no sport on TV for literally 3 or 4 months. So I'm sure the audiences, even for those test matches, since there'll be no crowds, I'm sure there's talk that they might be putting it on like the BBC and things like that. So that might be quite interesting. But yeah, I think I saw somebody tweet actually the other day about the break could have actually extended people's careers, just because those niggles that you probably play through week in, week out with strapping and things like that, whereas no cricketer now has a break of 3 months ever in their schedule. So it's going to be interesting. And I think when the games do start, there's going to be a lot of energy and buzz around.
GT, so we've spoken about going through the academy. We've spoken about breaking into the first team. This is about sort of going on to international honours. For you, as academy director, you obviously get a hell of a kick of seeing your boys go through into the first team. But then to see them go on to international honours, and I named a few names there in your intro, again, for you, that must be... It's obviously something you... Do you talk about that at the academy to the youngsters that are there now and say to them, look, these lads are on the academy... Look where they are now.
Oh, most definitely. You know, when we have our presentations and we introduce the players at the start of the programme that's ahead of them and how they're going to go about things, to put these guys' faces and up there in terms of what can be achieved is a huge driver for these players coming into the programme. And there's a reality to it as well. You know, we're not just standing there saying, if you train hard, if you commit, if you've got the ability, you can do this. And then have nothing to show for it. There's actually role models and guys there that have, and girls in terms of our girls and women's program, in terms of what can be achieved. And I think it's a great advert. These guys have allowed us to show that if you're good enough and you do the right things, you work at your game, you have the ability and the right character, you've got a potential future at the top level. And these guys are kind of living that at the moment.
It's obviously becoming quite a regular thing now. You sort of look at the names on the Academy Honours Board that have gone on to international honours, and there's a good number of names there now. But what are your memories of sort of the first couple there? I'd have thought sort of Dernbach, Ebony, those guys were the first ones to sort of go on and get England honours. So what are your memories of that?
Well, when we first started, I do remember that the drive and the achievement for us was to get a player onto a professional staff. And that was almost like the be-all and end-all. So if we got a player and they got given a contract, then that was the kind of brilliant, we've done our job. But as time progressed and as we went through 15, 16 years later, it changed, the philosophy changed really from just getting kids and players contracts to actually developing a player that can have a sustained career in professional cricket, which would mean getting capped and, most importantly, having the abilities to try and push on and represent their country. So now where we're at, it's very much producing the best quality players that we can. Getting a professional contract is an achievement in itself. It's not easy. But if those players can go on and become almost the spine of Surrey's future teams, which they have become, and then go on from there into an international cricket, then we can actually say that we've been successful. And I think we have got that right at the moment, and we've got a lot of successes out there that are showing what we can do.
Yeah, and it's sort of, it's all part of that in speech marks, that process, isn't it? Because Alex Stewart always talks about, look, county cricket, we're here to provide players for England. You at the academy are there to provide players for the Surrey first team. So it's all part of that process, isn't it, that you're achieving at Surrey?
Yeah, most definitely. And I think for us, it's to work as hard as we can in the programme and the time we have with our players to give them whatever the raw kind of attributes and ingredients that they can push on to what they can achieve. And as I've said before in the podcast, really what the lads have done in front of us here is it's down to them. We've just provided opportunity and guidance and some support. They've basically made the decisions as they've gone through their short career so far, and they've got, most of the time they're making those decisions pretty well, and they're achieving, what they're capable of going forward to. So I think it's about us providing opportunity, and then what happens after that is very much down to the individual and how they apply themselves.
Popey, right, so last week we spoke about that whirlwind rush of you getting into the Surrey first team. I think it's fair to say that England debut as well was a bit of a whirlwind, wasn't it, back in 2018? What are your memories of that? Because I can remember, I think it was a one-day game at Chelmsford when the news came through that you'd been picked in the squad for the Lord's Test against India. What are your memories of all of that? The actual, getting the call and saying you're in the squad.
Yeah, it was, like you said, it was a whirlwind. I was actually driving to a T20. I was on my way to pick up Will Jacks to take him down to Chelmsford to play a T20 there on a Sunday. And I remember, I think I read an article the night before saying that I was going to get called up. And you see these articles. I'd only played, I think, 13 first-class games, so I didn't really believe it when I read it. It was like, I thought it was just a bit of a token, find something to write about, and then saw an unknown number pop up on my phone just on the way there. I think about 2 minutes before I picked up Jaxi, and it was Ed Smith. And then I guess the day before a test, you sort of, as soon as you, I can't really remember the conversation, but you assume it's going to be, I mean, if he's calling you randomly the day before, sort of they announce the next squad. So that's how it went. And then I remember, I think it came out an hour later, and it was amazing. I guess the phone blew up a little bit, which was cool, but then had to try and go and focus on playing a T20 down in Chelmsford. But it was pretty awesome. And then the boys, sort of, when they found out as well, they really got around it too. So it was very special.
Was it a surprise? Was it a shock? Because as you say, you'd only played 13 first-class games up to that point, and as you know, there'd been articles written, your name had been mentioned, but was it a, whoa, hang on, I've just been picked for England type moment?
Yeah, absolutely, it was. It was pretty surreal at the start. And I remember when I was with Sam, like I think I said it in the last podcast, when he got his call, and you get all these sort of emotions go through your head, because it is everything you dream about as a kid. So to be sort of told that I was going to be playing against India later that week, I'd only played, I think, 13 games. So it was a bit of a whirlwind, and it was very surreal. And I think I dealt with it pretty well at the time, but that whole sort of first week and running into that Lord's Test, it was all a bit of a blur looking back on it, though. But it was an amazing time.
Yeah, and just the build-up, that media circus, it is at times a circus, isn't it? And I can remember sticking the telly on, and there was you and Sam and Sanger with Mr. Ward sat in the long room at Lord's and chatting away and lots of interviews and everything. So how was that? How was that sort of everybody focusing their attention on you going into a Test match debut?
Yeah, it was very strange. I think I got told I was going to go do a few interviews over the other side in the nursery ground, and I walked into this press conference and there was about 40 reporters there, and I was like, what is this? What's going on here? And then it almost felt like, because you're just trying to sort of slide under the radar a little bit when you're starting out, you just want to get that first game under your belt and just have things as normal. But it almost feels like each camera's on you just for that first week. And so, yeah, it was obviously a nice feeling, but at the same time, I was like, I wanted to slide under the radar a little bit and just sort of ease in. But I guess that's just the way it is with your first game, and it's something that you've got to enjoy, make the most of, and then just everyone deals with it, I guess, in a different way. But it was a pretty surreal week.
And that moment, getting your cap presented to you by Mr. Alex Stewart, who made a very fine speech as always, but that moment of being in that huddle and getting the cap at Lord's as well.
Yeah, exactly. It was a dream come true, especially to have the gaffer give the cap out as well. He gave a very good speech, I thought. And to have the family there in the crowd, knowing that they were sort of watching on, and it's a moment, I'm sure Sam will say the same, it's a moment, that cap presentation, you'll never forget, because that's the time where you sort of everything you dream of has sort of come into place a little bit. So obviously that's just the start, and hopefully I can get a few more.
And fielded first, let's go to the Saturday. So it's a lovely day, number one. Sun was shining beautifully, I remember. And out comes Ollie Pope to bat for the first time in Test match cricket. Sharma was the bowler, I think, wasn't he, from the pavilion end. Second ball, thanks very much, clip it through mid-wicket to get off the mark with a boundary. But can you remember anything about that walking out to bat for the first time in a Test match on your debut at Lord's with the sun shining and a full house?
Yeah, to be fair, actually, that's probably the one bit I do remember very well. I think I just was telling myself, whatever happens, just take in this moment, because I was on debut, the crowd gave such a nice sort of warm applause. And then I remember, I think Cook got out before, so to have sort of him walking off, and I've seen it, there's a little video of it somewhere, I think, and it's quite a nice video, and I just tried to enjoy it. And then I remember, I think Ashwin was lining me up. I think he came to meet me halfway out and was going to probably have a little word with me about trying to get in my head a bit. But I just sort of walked past him and tried to ignore whatever he said. I tried to take that bit in. And luckily, I was just happy to get off the mark on that second ball, to be honest. I just didn't want to start with a duck, to be honest. So that was a good feeling to get off the mark.
We'll come back to you about hundreds and Test matches in a moment. But Verds, for you, obviously you've done England Lions tours. You were on the Lions tour at the start of this year. Seems a while ago now, that. What's it been like for you being sort of part of the England setup and around other players and different coaches? What's that like for you being part of that?
I mean, it's quite interesting because you get to similar to like the other boys, I think, like winter programs and things like that. Since like playing 19s, it's kind of been interesting to work with a different spectrum of coaches, because it shows you, like, we're quite lucky that we have some good, very good coaches at Surrey, but it also gives you another kind of outlook on your game, getting someone else's opinion that maybe hasn't seen you play for a few years. So in terms of that, it's been quite good. And also, I think like the cricket circle in general, it's quite like there's not masses and masses of players. So to get to know other players from other counties and realise that, you know, on the pitch is one thing, but off the field, actually, most people are quite nice. So it's good to build relationships like that with players. So I think it's quite good because you build memories and experiences with guys that potentially you won't be playing with all the time. So it's nice to kind of grow in that area. But in terms of like the Lions cricket and things like that, I think the environment is slightly different from the Surrey environment. It's a bit more, you kind of got to show a bit more what you're capable of doing, whereas at your county level, they know potentially like what you can do. So everyone is there for a reason. So it's kind of like showing that, okay, you know, this is what I'm made of, this is what I can do, and kind of going from there. So I mean, it's a good environment. I really enjoyed it, especially this tour in Australia. It was a bit different because we had some new coaches compared to the last couple of years. And it was good.
And how much is it? They always talk about, you know, chatting to other players and picking up things from other players. So obviously, when you're with the Lions, you're with a different group of players, as you've said. So how much is it sort of chatting to them and picking stuff up off them, and them chatting to you and picking stuff off you as well?
I mean, this tour in particular was quite good because we had a couple of current players that had just played Test cricket. I think they just came from South Africa. I think we had Sibley, Crawley, and a few other lads. And I know like Keaton Jennings was there as well. Mm. And it's quite good to tap into their knowledge because they're current players playing at that level, at Test level, and kind of what their kind of experiences with the jump up from Lions or County cricket. So, I mean, it's quite good chatting with them because they offer like a different perspective on things because they're in it at the moment. And I found it quite useful in terms of like how they deal with their training, you know, what changes they make to their game. Because, you know, you hear a lot of the time where sometimes maybe people think they have to change something, whereas they've had a formula that works for them at county level and that should be working at the top level as well. But some, obviously with the amount of pressure on their game, sometimes it feels like they have to change things. So that was quite interesting talking to some of the players about that. But yeah, there's always stuff you can learn from people, especially the coaches and the players, because they're always offering different perspectives on things. They've always got their own outlook on what you should be doing. So there's a lot of information, and I think it's just how you kind of see what works with you and kind of growing from there.
Yeah, and also just with Sam and Ollie, you know, seeing those boys making Test match debuts and doing what they've done already in international cricket, for you playing with them and knowing them as well as you do, that must give you a lift and you know, tap into what they've already learned.
I mean, definitely, I think aside from all of it, they're two very, very nice individuals. They're top blokes. And to see them, like, progress their career from playing with them since they were, like, you know, probably a bit younger, but, like, sort of the ages of 12, 13, 14, and see them, like, growing to play Test cricket, it kind of does motivate you more because you want to be playing with your mates. And you can see that, actually, you know, that's in my grasp as well, or other players feel the same. So I think that it's definitely a motivation. Because it just shows that, you know, these guys are working really hard. They're very talented, but they work very hard at the game. And it shows you where you can reach. And especially being at Surrey, you know, you're just rooting for them boys all the time. But it'll be great to play with them, hopefully soon, at England level as well.
Sam, I've asked Popey about that Test match debut. What are your memories of yours against Pakistan then? You know, Popey told us last week you were together when you got the call, but what are your memories of that Test match debut?
Yeah, memories of that were obviously it feels like quite a long time ago. Weirdly, someone actually tweeted the other day it was 2 years since my debut. So it was a great time. I got a call when I was on the golf course, so unexpected, and got in the car quickly. Went to Leeds and one training session, and then Ben Stokes was tweaked to Miami. So that was it. All happened pretty quick. That debut didn't really go kind of that well. It was just Jimmy and Broad cleaned up Pakistan. They got we won by an innings, and it all happened so quickly. It didn't really feel like more a debut. I think it sunk in when I started against India, and there was a big buzz about this series, like the Anderson Kohli battle that's going to be happening. All that kind of the debut, to be honest, went really quick, and I didn't really get it sink in. But I think it really sunk in what I was doing when I was playing against India, because the crowds were there, the hype, and the series, and all things like that was very cool.
I know you well enough to sit and know when you're enjoying yourself, and every time you always look to me as if you are absolutely loving playing international cricket and playing for England. And the bigger the crowd and the bigger the moment seems to be when you lift your game up to another level. But you do. You just look like you're absolutely loving playing international cricket.
Well, yeah, I think anyone who plays or has played would say I think it's so much fun in terms of, yes, there's a lot of pressure, but I think when you get the moment in the field and things like that, you've got to just take it all in, because it's a very standard thing to say, but a lot of people say your careers are very short and they do go really quickly, but I just try and enjoy it. But it may just be when there's bigger crowds, you get that extra bit of energy, you know, there's lots of people watching, you want to impress and take wickets for your team. And I guess it's just, I think Verds and Pope are exactly the same. You see when Verds takes a wicket, he runs around the stadium flying his aeroplane celebration, and then same as Pope, he gets to 20 off his first 30 balls and he's away. Like, this kind of stuff, boys really want to get into the battle, and I think that's why anyone who plays professional sport would love playing in front of fans and crowds, because it gives you that extra buzz and wants you to perform with your team.
And it's a hell of a good time to be part of that England setup, because, you know, young players coming through, but some real experience there as well. And I sort of touched on it with Verds there, but for you as well, being around Anderson, being around Broad, being able to pick their brains, Stokes, Root, how important is that as well?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think exactly what Verds said, any time you've got senior players who have played at that level for so long and master their game so well, you be pretty silly if you weren't picking their brains during training and asking their ways to bowl. How do you bowl with the kookaburra ball? How do you bowl in South Africa? Which is the right length? Which is the right line? Small things like that. And you just take little snippets and things like that. There was a moment where I was quite flustered in one of the tests, and Jimmy just came over and said, mate, just take an extra moment. You're bowling really well. Like, just don't let the occasion get to you. And it's those moments you really stick in, because those are from, like, your team. Mate, it's quite interesting when you're standing and you got Broad on your left and Anderson on your right. You're a bit like, wow, this is pretty cool. So I definitely try and ask as many questions as I can, because everyone knows they probably won't be around for like as long as everyone wants them to. But I think while they're playing, while they're still the masters of bowling for England, I think it's a great opportunity for me to learn.
And you mentioned it last week, but obviously you've had great success already in your England career. But you mentioned it, Popey's 100 at the beginning of the year. So when Popey got that 100, how great a moment was that for you to see your great mate go out there and get 100 in Test match cricket?
Yeah, it was amazing. I don't know if I said it last week, but I was on about 40-odd, and all I said to myself, Popey was on about 88 when we were batting, and I said, whatever you do here, Sam, like, we're getting on with the game was moving quite quickly. I was like, please just be here for the moment for 100. And Maro's is bowling. I've whacked him down four. I've gone, right, Popey's on about 90. I said, okay, Maro's third up again. I've gone, caught deep square on whatever, 45. Popey's on about 92. So I'm absolutely fuming about getting out. And then I walked in. An over later was T. I probably forgot that it was T. So that's another stupid thing. And then Popey's walked off. And I was just like, sorry, mate, you're nearly there. Gets his 100, and that moment where he just takes off his helmet and jumps in the air, like, one of your best mates scoring 100 for England is pretty amazing. And the same with Dom Sibley, yeah. When he scored his 100 in Cape Town, I've never been so happy for another person or people scoring runs, because they're your best mates performing in front of millions of people and just winning games with each other. It was amazing.
Come on then, Popey. What can you tell us about that moment then? Because obviously you made runs going into that Test match, but how was it that to get that first Test 100 under your belt?
Yeah, well, it was pretty surreal, to be honest. I think I've said it before. I think your first dream as a batter is to play for England, and your second dream is to, I guess, get a 100 for your country. So yeah, it was. I remember. I think I was on probably 96 for five or six balls, and then I think Norkia was bowling, and I got a bit greedy, to be fair. The shot that I brought it up with, I just tried to sort of force it through mid-wicket, and luckily went down the slope of Port Elizabeth and went off for four. And if I don't want to say it was a massive sort of weight off my shoulders, because I wasn't feeling massively under pressure, but it was, yeah, it was a bit of a dream come true, to be honest. It was I couldn't really put it into words after, but yeah, it was a shame Sam couldn't be in the middle with me. Shame he got greedy and wanted to bring it up in style.
I was just thinking about the insta pic we were going to have afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. Now we'll have some more. Hopefully we'll have some more over the future.
Oh, I was so angry, I can't even tell you. I was more gutted about not being out there for the 100 than anything else in the game.
Yeah, it was a shame, but it was nice. And then Sam obviously gave that nice speech. I think that went on the England Twitter after, which was really good. He said some good words. But yeah, no, it was a pretty surreal moment, to be honest. And it was, I guess, when I first played against India, and it didn't necessarily go to plan a few years ago. I wasn't sure, would I be sort of just play two tests, or would I be a success at international level or anything like that. So I wasn't sure if I was ever even going to play again, obviously, because you just think that in your own mind sometimes. So yeah, to come back and have a good series against South Africa was yeah, it was a very good feeling.
And can I just ask you, what I love about this is there's you three lads who've, as we've discussed throughout these podcasts, that you've done it all together. You've gone through the academy together, you got into the Surrey first team together, and you're all enjoying success now at international level. You know, for you to see Verds in the 55 as well, it's fantastic, isn't it? So what I love about this is it's all you as mates doing this all together at the same time, and that must just be a really, really lovely thing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we said, we've all played with each other for such a long time. So to be able to share these moments with these guys on the field is it's really special. And I think cricket's, as a youngster, you probably get a little bit caught up in your own mind, a little bit worried about your own game too much. But if you can step back and actually really enjoy your teammates and your mates' success, I think that's a really important thing. So it makes you a better bloke as well. But yeah, to be able to enjoy your mates' success is awesome.
GT, let me come to you. So look, you must be very proud of these three. You must be very proud of all your graduates that go through to international honours. Well, all I can really remember about Ollie Pope's Test match debut is you, Gareth Townsend, being on. Well, honestly, it got boring after. Every time I turned my telly on, there you were on Sky Sports or on Test Match Special. But what are your memories of, you know, the Pope debut, the S Curran debut, Verdi playing for the Lions? What are your memories of all of that?
Popey's debut was, I went to Lords to watch him that day. First time I've ever been to Lords to watch a Test match, which found myself in the match stand on my own at the back. And then he comes out to bat, walks down the, you know, the pavilion entrance onto the Lords. And that was a real surreal moment, because it was like, there he is. And like, as he said, he'd only played a dozen or so first-class games. 2 years, 3 years ago, was playing in the kind of school cricket, age group cricket. And suddenly he's there and walking out against, you know, one of the best teams in the world at the best ground in the world. And I'm just sitting there watching it. It was real kind of emotional moment to see him. I bumped into his dad on that day walking. We went and travelled together on the tube. We just bumped into each other, ironically, on the tube. We had a chat. And I went to the ground, and then it was really a special moment to see him. And I will admit, once he got out, I did go back and have a quick drink, and then I had a Pimm's on my own and left, because I kind of thought, you know, I've done my bit for the day, so I didn't see the rest of the day's play. I will apologise for that.
Thanks, mate. Thanks.
I went back and saw Sam on Sky TV instead. I probably had an interview with the papers and Sky to do, so I had to come.
See, this is brilliant, because now G's actually bringing out his favourites in the academy, so he stays to watch certain people and then he just leaves to have his red wine. Cheers, mate.
Yeah, I appreciate the support anyway, at least someone does. Sam played all right as well.
You know, and we talked about the Cape Town Test match. I mean, I've said to the lads, my biggest regret, and it's a bit like, you know, when Sam said he got out when Popey was getting his 100 and he wished he was there, I was so angry with myself. I didn't push myself to get on a plane and fly down to Cape Town to see Popey, Sam and Sivers play at Newlands, which has a special kind of place because we've toured there for a number of years. So Cape Town is a kind of special place with me. And to have seen those three play in that arena with an England shirt on, and Sivers goes and gets that 100, that would have been, it was brilliant watching them on TV. But I kind of, one regret is I wished I'd, you know, go off my backside and made myself get down there and watch it in person. But it's going back to what we've talked about. Is you don't feel anything to yourself. It's nothing to do with me. It's just all the people who got in there, really. It's you just enjoy the fact that they are achieving something, and you get a big buzz out of seeing them fulfil their ambitions and their dreams and what they've worked for. And I think that's where we get the enjoyment from. You just naturally get enjoyment from seeing other people do well. And that's a great philosophy and culture to have, because it doesn't breed the selfishness and the ego and the kind of negativity that the other extreme can be, where you begrudge people's successes or you're self-interested. I think these lads are genuinely interested in each other's developments and doing well. And also what will happen, I think, is if one of them struggles or finds things tough, the other guys around them will support and bring them in and try and push them on. So I think they'll, you know, it's a good recipe for the future. They'll always back each other and support each other. And I think they'll need that when they'll come up in difficult times or they might find things individually tough. I think the guys around them, not just for England, but also with Surrey, will pull in and they'll kind of put their arm around them and drag them and push them forward with them. So, yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah, and it's, as I just mentioned there to Sam and Verds and Popey, it's lovely to see them all doing it together, isn't it? You know, Verds being in the 55, it's fantastic stuff. It really is. And that group are doing it. They're doing it together, but they're also now moving on to doing it together in international cricket.
Well, I think Verds, you know, he doesn't need to be told this. He's got to be ready because we don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 weeks of international cricket with, you know, if everything goes according to plan and we get all the cricket in, which we should do, things are moving forward. You know, there's a good chance he may well get picked. There may be an opportunity for him at some point. Whatever reason that happens, he's just got to be ready. And I think if he focuses on that for the next month to 6 weeks and just be ready when that call comes, whether that is an injury or an unavailability or they play two spinners, we're going to Old Trafford. He's just got to be ready, and he's got an opportunity this summer to make his Test debut. And if it doesn't happen, then he's just got to keep working hard, ready for that opportunity to come in the winter and beyond. But yeah, I think he knows that now. I think he's working harder. He's getting a better understanding of his game. He's picking things up. And I think, you know, he's just now got to be ready for the opportunity to come, as he did for the others.
And Verge, for you, how much of a boost? It's obviously a very strange time for everybody, but how much of a boost was it for you to, you know, that 55 this summer, to be in that 55? How much of a sort of tick in the box was that for you?
I mean, it's a big boost, definitely. I think that you never... I know when you like when you're playing Lions, sometimes you can get a bit stuck there, or you still think you're so far away from any opportunities, you know, to make that jump up. But to be involved in that, I think it's just, you know, it's a blessing, and almost like it kind of shows that you're never that far away. I think that, like JT said, I think you just got to always be ready for those opportunities because you just don't know what can happen. Like the other boys mentioned, when they didn't expect it, something happened. So I think it's definitely a boost. And at a time like this where, you know, like Sam was saying earlier, that you're not sure what you're really training for, like when we are playing. So now this gives you a bit more purpose to what you're doing and kind of shows you that actually there's an outcome to what's going on right
now.
And hopefully things do stay on the up, and you never know what can happen.
Sammy, just away from the England stuff, can I just ask you about IPL as well? And the one thing I want to ask you about the IPL is, you know, we talked about that whole playing with other players and picking other players' brains and all that good stuff. Again, with the IPL, that must have been something pretty special, being involved in a competition like that with the world's greatest players and some of them in your own dressing room.
It's obviously a massively, like, everyone knows the IPL is an incredible tournament. The players, it was my first time in India, so didn't really know what to expect. The crowds, I'm gobsmacked about how the crowds they get for those games and the love for cricket in India is pretty crazy. And to play against the likes of Dhoni, Kohli, all these kind of guys who, when they walk out to bat, it's actually scary how loud the crowds are and how much they love players in India and things like that. The standard was incredible. The grounds were pretty small, so bowling out there was pretty tough. So your execution had to be really important. It was great in terms of playing with the other players because I feel like they play T20 cricket a bit differently to the way we do, so you can pick their brains on different ways they train, and they've trained very specifically in terms of their roles in the team. Their sides are so settled that the guys trained to bat at number five, train purely to bat in that position, things like that, and different slow balls on those surfaces. Some grounds, the slow balls gripped a bit more than the others. Similar to you do at Surrey, you just pick the brains, you do a lot of work on the analysis on the other opposition, things like that. But it's very, the buzz for cricket there is incredible. You leave the hotel and there's literally thousands and thousands of people the whole way to the ground. It's pretty cool, and it's definitely something I can't wait to do again. But for now, we just got to keep sitting tight and being patient, because it's definitely one of the greatest memories of my career so far.
Yeah, I remember watching the hat trick. It was utter madness. What are your memories of that? Because it was just, as you said, it was utter chaos with your hat trick.
Yeah, it was literally, to be honest, I remember saying after the game, I actually didn't know I was on a hat trick, because I got a wicket on the last ball of the one over and then got two in the first. So you almost forget about your next over, because I was defending 15 off the last over. And genuinely, like, when the ball hit the stumps for the hat trick, it was so loud, and it's just the buzz was incredible. We were actually going to lose the game. They needed about 30 off 26 balls, and all of a sudden people started leaving, and then you saw them coming back in. It was crazy. It was definitely very cool, and the ball was reversing, so that was always a bonus. And it was amazing. We would never forget that.
Okay, well, I've got a final question for all three of the lads, and then I'll go to GTT last. So, Popey, I'm going to come to you. My final question, it's the same final question for all three of you. Popey, when you get sort of, and there's a long way to go in this, obviously, to the end of your career, and you're sitting there one day with your feet up and your slippers and your pipe and your dog at your feet and all that good stuff, how fondly are you going to look back on your time on the Surrey Academy?
Oh, massively. I think we've had a few Zoom calls with some ex-players and a few footballers over the last few weeks. And I think the main thing for us is you need to really take in these moments that we're working hard, we're doing everything we can to be the best, but you've actually got to really enjoy it. And that post-Surrey Academy days, whether that be on tour or travelling down to sort of Millfield on a Sunday morning to stick off a nun, and that kind of thing, you're obviously not snicking off the nun, but you've got to enjoy them. You don't know how far you're going to go in the game, so I think that's definitely something that we did do, and we've got some amazing memories there.
And Verds, for you as well, how fondly do you look back on your days with the academy?
I do look back quite fondly. I mean, it was a bit of a up and down journey for me in the academy, but I think, like Popey said, especially at a time like this where you haven't played for a while, I think you do kind of take notice of what life is without cricket, kind of thing, because cricket's such a central part of our lives that without it, you feel quite bored, you feel a bit like you haven't got a massive use. So I think for me, looking back, obviously we're quite young still, but looking back, that I did have some good moments, made some good mates, and hopefully as my career goes on, that we can keep building from those kind of experiences that we've had in the academy and kind of make more memories and everything together as team and as mates.
And Sam, for you?
Yeah, I think it's obviously great. As the boys said, we owe GT a lot in terms of things he did for us. And it's great now that we can still work with him and he's still coming in. He's around the first team squad, which is great. And it's awesome. Great memories. And as Bird said, we've got so many great mates. And now almost being in the first team feels like academy in a way, because we've got all the guys we've grown up with. And it's amazing. And I think it's great now that we can look back and have a nice beer over it with GT now that we're old enough, and just enjoy it a bit more and just kind of look back and think what we're still working on things that, like, GT was sidelined with me last week, and you just get those pictures of those when you're in academy days of all those great memories. So it's really amazing, and the academy's great, and hopefully they keep producing more and more players.
And GT, final word from you. And look, I could sit here now and I could blow the proverbial smoke up your whatever. I'm not going to do that though. I could ask you how proud you are of these three, and I know how proud you are, and how proud you are of all your academy graduates. But final word from you about your coaching staff and the people that help you run the academy and get these boys to where they are now.
Yeah, and they shouldn't be underestimated, because the strength of our program is we have a very committed and passionate group of coaches over the years that have put in a lot of time. So a lot of these sessions are, I say, unsociable times, a lot of evenings on the weekends, and they put in everything. And I couldn't ask anything more in terms of the way they've operated. And that, whether that is from, you know, we had Gavin Franklin back in the days and Richard Bedbrook and Tom Benge is still with us. Spriggs is now with us. Neil Stewart, Alex Brothers, put a huge amount of time and effort into working with our players and all our support staff. Jeremy Greaves, who does a lot more of our fielding now. They do everything. They'll do anything for these players. And I think the players do appreciate it. But without that passion and that commitment and the enjoyment they get from it, the program would be half as good. And I think these lads have benefited from a very committed staff who, again, just want them to do well. They're just doing it for their development and seeing them. And they get a huge buzz and kick out of seeing what we've done in the last few years of them progressing, whether that's IPL, England, county championship winning sides, that they've been part of. And I think we all get a huge amount of pride out of that. And it gives us that motivation and energy to carry on trying to produce the next group of players. And there are some more good players already on the staff, whether it's Jamie Smith and Will Jacks, who are bubbling under, looking to push for further honours. And they will achieve that if they continue to work hard and commit to what they want to do. But I think within that dressing room, sorry, and these guys have said it a lot, the relationships they have and the enjoyment they get makes that dressing room a happy dressing room. Of course, it's not always going to be perfect, but I think these guys bond pretty tightly together. And I think having a homegrown group of players in a county side is for me imperative for the kind of sustainability and future of the club to continue success. Because the guys will, I think, just do a little bit more, put that extra effort in to try and achieve what they want to achieve, and they all enjoy each other's successes, as we've heard. It's been a privilege for me to kind of run and be put in charge of that program for the last 15-20 years. I couldn't have asked for a better job, and these guys have been outstanding, so really proud and pleased for their achievements, and there'll be more to come.
Well, can I just say, fellas, thank you so much for giving up your time over the last three weeks. It's been absolutely terrific to see you all. It's I'll be honest with you, boys, I've absolutely bloody loved catching up with all of you, and it's been absolutely fascinating chat from academy through to where you are now. So last thing to you all is stay safe, stay well, and fingers crossed we'll all see you very, very soon.
Cheers, Churchy. Thanks very much, Churchy.
And that is Stumps for this third episode of From Three Feathers to Three Lions. Thanks to Gareth Townsend, Ollie Pope, Amar Verdi and Sam Curran. And thank you to all of you for listening. If you've liked what you've heard, please rate and review us, as it really helps others find the podcast. And if these episodes prove successful, then who knows, we might well do some more in the future. This has been a Surrey County Cricket Club podcast, From Three Feathers to Three Lions, brought to you by Kia, who for over 10 years have been the official naming partner and long-standing sponsor of the Kia Oval and Surrey County Cricket Club. Until we all chat again, stay safe and stay well, everybody.